can tell you this. I asked Brother Greg to sit at the door. Brother Bob called me this morning. Brother Bob's got stage 4 of kidney failure. He's in Millsboro, and I told him I'd come down and see him this week. But y'all pray for Brother Bob. He's crying on the phone because he can't be here.
Wow.
And I asked Brother Greg to sit in his place.
Amen.
All right, before I get started, just from hearing that, let's pray real quick. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray for Brother Bob. God, I pray you help him. God, it saddens my heart to even hear it. Lord, God, he's been faithful. God, and I thank you for him and all he's done for this church. God, I pray you just please help him now. God, I pray your hand be with him. Comfort him, God. And God, I pray you work a miracle that only you can, God. And I just thank you for him. God, I pray you bless him. God, give him hands for his own purpose, Lord. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, turn to Ecclesiastes chapter number 10. I'm thankful for the opportunity to teach this morning. I'm going to teach something I taught in the Sunday school class a little over a year ago now. That some of the teens might remember it, but it's what God's laid on my heart. I was in Job in my Bible reading, and I came across some of these verses that I've taught before, and God just kind of touched my heart about it. And so I'm going to go with it this morning. The teens probably will remember some of it, but I know it's for them. I know it's for you guys. I know the Lord wants me to teach on this. And so just pray for me as I'm up here that I will teach it. The way the Lord wants me to. God, so turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse number 8. It says, "He that diggeth a pit shall fall into it. And whoso breaketh up a hedge, a serpent shall bite him." All right, so we see here in chapter 10, verse number 8, "He that diggeth a pit shall fall into it." How many have heard that phrase? You know, you're digging your own grave or you're digging a pit. Man, I know I've fallen in plenty of my own pits where I said something stupid and then I just fell right in. All right, so that we've all done that. But this second part is what I want to focus on this morning. It says, "And whoso breaketh an hedge, a serpent shall bite him." All right, so I want to talk about hedges this morning. I kind of want to, I did a Bible study reading this one day, and I started studying out hedges and how God uses hedges in the Bible and where they come from. And so this morning, I just want to teach on that a little bit. First, what we learn is just from the dictionary. When you're studying something, you look up the word. So it's a thicket of thorn bushes or other shrubs or small trees, but appropriately such a thicket planted around a field to fence it or in rows to separate the parts of a garden. But simply put, you put a hedge around something you own. If you own it, you put a hedge around it to protect it. You put a hedge around it to show boundaries of what is yours. And so a hedge in the Bible I find interesting because God puts hedges around things that are his. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 6 real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. Look at verse number 19. "What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." So you're bought with a price. You're property of God. All right, and so when God puts a hedge around something he owns, you're in that category if you're saved here this morning, and you're owned by God, and so God puts a hedge around his property. You are God's property, all right, and it shows those boundaries, it shows protection, and it shows what is his, all right, and so that's what a hedge does. We'll go through here first point. Hedges are given by God, all right, so we're going to be turning to a lot of verses today, and I'd appreciate if you would turn there, Matthew chapter number 21. Because I truly believe that the eye gate is a door to the heart. So if you see these verses with your eye, it's my prayer that it'll get into your heart. Amen. Hedges are given by God. Matthew chapter number 21. All right, and the teens know that if there's a sword drill, there's no way I could ever win it. I am the worst at turning places. So if you're there before me, just be patient. I'll get there eventually. All right, Matthew 21, 33 says, "Hear another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it round about and digged a wine press in it and built a tower and let it out to the husbandmen and went into a far country." And so if you read the rest of this parable, I'm not going to for the sake of time. This is about God, the Father, and Israel, and how Israel was in this vineyard. But because how they treated the prophets and how one day they would kill the Son of God, that he takes it from them is going to give it to another. It's the Gentiles. And so we see that in this parable. But what I want you to pay attention to is the householder is God the Father. It's his vineyard, and he hedged it. Turn to Mark chapter number 12. Just to show you another verse on this, just give you a proof text. Mark chapter number 12. This is the same parable here in Mark chapter number 12. It says, "And he began to speak unto them by parables. A certain man planted a vineyard and set a hedge about it and digged a place for the wine fat and built a tower and let it out to the husbandman and went into a far country." So it's saying the same thing, but I just want you to realize the Bible is very clear that God's vineyards, he will hedge them, all right? So God gives the hedges to his property. What is his? He's the one who puts the hedges around them. Now, what we see here is why God gives us hedges, all right? God gives us hedges for blessing. Turn to Job chapter number 1. The book of Job, chapter number 1. Job, chapter number 1, verse 10. It says, we'll back up to verse 6. "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth?" This isn't what I'm trying to teach on, but I wonder if God ever says that about us. I wonder if God ever says, "Hast thou considered my servant Michael Shane?" Amen. Does God think that highly of my character and the way that I live my life that he would say something like that to Satan? Or does he say more like, "Nah, just leave him alone. He's having enough trouble as it is." I just wonder that. Let's look at verse 9. "Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land." And so first thing we see about hedges that are given by God is they're given for blessings. Everything inside the hedge of God is blessed. Yep. It says that he was hedged, his land was hedged, everything around him was hedged by God. And because of that, everything inside that hedge increased. It was blessed. The work of his hand was blessed. Everything. His children were blessed. He was a wealthy man. Everything inside that hedge was a blessing of God. And we see throughout the Bible many times that Israel had a hedge around them. And as long as they obeyed God and did what God wanted them to do, everything inside the hedge of Israel was blessed. They had food in abundance. They had water whenever they needed it. They never, every victory they ever had inside the hedge was always just given by God. They wouldn't even lose a man half the time. If they lost someone, it's because there was sin most of the time. But if they were right with God and in the hedge of God, they would just get a 100% victory without even losing a single man. Because that's what happens when you're in the hedge of God. And so when you're in that hedge, when you're God's property, he puts that hedge around you, and everything inside that hedge will be blessed. And I'm not preaching the prosperity gospel. I'm just preaching the Bible. I'm preaching what's truth. When you're inside the hedge of God, you will be blessed. Now, there's still, it says, the work of his hands. What does that mean? He still had to labor. He still had to work. You're still plowing. You're still sowing. You're still doing the work of God. So you still will have to do things. It's not going to be easy, but you'll be blessed. So there's blessings in the hedge of God. The hedge is given for blessings. Secondly, the hedge is given for protection from outside threats. Same verse, chapter number 1, verse 10, talking about, "Hast thou not made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land." So why is Satan asking this? Why is Satan saying, "Well, you know what? The only reason he's a good guy, the only reason he's doing this is because you put a hedge around him. You're protecting him." And what that shows you here is that the devil and the world, the flesh, all that, they're on the outside, and they cannot get into the hedge of God, not unless God lets them. So what the hedge is for is to protect you from an outside threat. And what you see every time in the Bible, and even in real life when we have a garden or something like that we're trying to protect, we'll put that hedge around it. Why? So that some animal can't come in and destroy all the work that you had just done. Because you want that fruit for you. That's why you even planted the garden. It's all for you. You want the fruit that comes out of it. You want what's produced out of it. So you're going to protect what's inside of it. And so God does the same thing. He protects us because we're supposed to be his fruit. So supposed to be using us to increase for him. And so he protects what's on the inside from what's on the outside. And so we learned in Ecclesiastes chapter 10 that snake, he's sitting right outside that hedge. Every single time it said that when you break down that hedge that the serpent will come in. Well, why was he sitting there? He can't get in without God's permission. He's sitting there and he's waiting and he's lurking. I'm going to get into that in a couple minutes. But there's so many things in this world that want to destroy us. Yeah. They don't like us. They don't like what we stand for. They don't like that we're the vineyard of God. And so they're sitting outside that hedge just waiting for an opportunity to destroy us. But as long as you stay in that hedge, they can't get in. That's why Satan brought it up. Why? Because God had to give Satan permission to touch Job and to touch the things inside the hedge, because without it, he could never got in. It's protection from outside threats. But watch this. Turn to Hosea chapter number 2. Hosea chapter number 2, verse number 6. All right, Hosea is in between Genesis and Revelation.
Yeah.
All right, Hosea chapter number 2, verse number 6. It says, "Therefore, behold, I will hedge up thy way with thorns and make a wall that she shall not find her pass, and she shall follow after her lovers, but she shall not overtake them, and she shall seek them, but shall not find them. Then shall she say, I will go and return to my first husband, for then was it better with me than now." And so what we see in chapter number 2 of Hosea, this is Hosea and his wife. I believe her name is Gomer. I forgot to look that up before. I think it's Gomer, right? And so Gomer here is a type of Israel, Hosea, a type of God the Father. But this is physically happening to Hosea. His wife is committing adultery and going after other men and things like that, which was a type of showing Israel what Israel was doing to God. And so God says, what I'm going to do is I'm going to put a hedge in her path. She says, I'm going to stop Gomer from doing what she wants to do. So what we see here is not only is it a protection from outside threats, but hedges are a protection from your own desires.
Yeah.
God puts that hedge in your way so that to protect you from you. He knows that your heart's wicked. He knows that you want to do the things outside the hedge. He knows that you want to live a wicked life, and so he puts that hedge there to protect you. So he says, hey, listen, you don't need what's on the outside of there. He says, hey, you know what, Gomer? I'm going to put a hedge in your path so that you can't find those other men, so that you can't get what you want. And why? Because she couldn't protect her from her own path, and it said so she'll go back to her first husband. Trying to find the verse so I don't say it wrong. Chapter number 7 says, I will go and return to my first husband, for then was it better with me than now. You know why God uses that hedge? To show you that inside the hedge was always better than outside the hedge. That's why he gives you that, to protect you. This is one thing I think we should all claim, and I say, God, help me to remember this when I'm praying. And I try to pray as much as I can, God, put a hedge in my way. Because, man, I'm stupid. I do the dumbest things, and if I had my way, I would destroy my life every chance I got. But if you can pray, God, put a hedge of protection in front of me that I won't go that way, because my flesh wants to. Brother Joe preached on that with the shadow of days, how he said, if we're honest with ourselves, we'll say, my flesh really wants this. I want to do this over serving God. I want to do this. I want to please my flesh. And you can do that. You can be honest with God, but then say, will you protect me from it? Will you put a hedge in my way that I won't do it? Will you protect me from those outward desires that I'm craving, just like here with Gomer? And to continue on, hedges cannot be passed by Satan without permission. Turn back to Job. I'm getting somewhere with this. I just want to kind of show you these verses and show you everything with the hedges, and then we'll get to my point. Hedges cannot be passed by Satan without permission. Job chapter number 1. Job chapter number 1, verse number 12. It says, and the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. You know what God just did right there? He lifted the hedge. He said, all right, Satan. He said, you got a good point. He said, you're right. You know what? He does praise me. He worships me. And I do have a hedge about him. But I'm about to show you that he'll do it even without that hedge. I'm about to show you that his character, that he'll do right even when I let you touch all that belongs to him. And so he lifted that hedge and allowed Satan to touch all that belonged to Job. But what I want you to see is Satan could not have done it if God didn't give him permission. That's how strong the hedge of God is. That's how powerful it is. That if he has that hedge, Satan can't even break through. And Satan's probably the second strongest being after God. And he can't break through that hedge. But what I find interesting about this is that Satan has to get permission. Satan had to get permission to touch Job. You see that in chapter 2, verse number 6. He says it again, goes through the whole thing. We'll actually turn there. I want you to see something real quick. Chapter 2, verse number 6. I'm saying a lot of words that don't make sense. I'm sorry. Chapter 2, verse number 6. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. All right, so you see that he can touch him here. But look at verse number 3. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. I just want you to see that verse. This doesn't have to do with the study, but I find it very interesting that Satan, an enemy of God, could move God to destroy one of his own children. He moved him to do it. And so if Satan, an enemy of God, we learn in 1 John the whole reason for the Son of God existence was to destroy the works of the devil, right? So that very same enemy can move God. Why can't the children of God move God to do something in their life? Yeah. Satan could do it. Satan can move God to destroy Job, someone who was perfect and upright and didn't deserve it at all. But I wonder if we can move God to save our family. I wonder if we can move God to make this church better than it's ever been. It's going to take prayer. It's going to take living faithfully, living clean. But if Satan, the enemy of God, can move God, why can't we, his children, do it? So I just wanted to throw that out there, something I saw the other day that God really pricked my heart with. But here in verse number 6, he says, you can do whatever you want, just don't kill him. So he lifts the hedge and allows Satan to touch his body. So we see that hedges are given by God. They're for blessings. They're for protections from outside threats. They're for protection from outside desires. Hedges cannot be passed by Satan without permission, all right? So you have Satan, this powerful being that cannot get through a hedge of God without permission, but I find this interesting. Even though Satan can't break them, hedges can be broken by man. A man can break a hedge of God, but not Satan. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, go back there. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse number 8, he that diggeth a pit shall fall into it, and whoso breaketh an hedge, a serpent shall bite him. I find it interesting that Satan can't get through without God's permission, but man can walk right through it. They can destroy it. They can break it down. They can do whatever it takes to get on the other side. You know why that is? Because so many Christians feel like it's green. The grass is greener on the other side. They're sitting in the vineyard of God. They're being blessed beyond measure. They're protected from everything on the outside, but still, because of their desires, they can push right through it if they really want it. If they really want it, they'll go right through without even thinking twice. But you know what's sad? They want it so bad, they're willing to hurt themselves to get it. That hedge is made with thorns and thickets, man. When you press through that thing, you're going to get cut up. You're going to get messed up, but you want so badly what's on the other side, you don't care how much it's going to hurt to get through it. And you'll break down that hedge. That's why we say so many times that Christians come back with scars. Yes, they got right. Yes, they got things right with God, but they still have scars. Why? Because they pressed right through the hedge. They got all the thorns cutting them up on their way out, but they didn't care because they wanted so badly what was on the other side. Satan deceived them. Why? That serpent's sitting right outside. It's sitting right outside the hedge going, man, look what I got over here. Yeah, you got a pretty good vineyard, but why? Because Satan knows he can't get in without God's permission, so what's he try to do? Get you out. He says, I can't get to where you are, but I can get you to where I am. He said, if I can get you to break down that hedge, I've got you. I'll destroy you as long as I can get you to walk through that hedge. And so I find it's very amazing that Satan can't get through it, but man can just destroy it just by walking right through it. All because you want so badly what's on the other side. Every time you break through a hedge, it's guaranteed that Satan's going to be sitting there waiting for you. There is no chance. There is no, well, you have like a 10% chance of making it. No. If you break the hedge, Satan is waiting. That's just how it works. He's ready to strike. He's seeking whom he may devour. If he could devour anyone, he would. If he could just walk into this church and devour every one of you this morning, he would. But it's who he may devour. It's who lets Satan devour them. And so what that is when you break through that hedge, you're saying, all right, Satan, go ahead and bite me. Go ahead. Go ahead and sink your teeth right into me. Let the venom come on in. You say, I would never say that. You did the day you broke through the hedge. You let him devour you. Amen. You broke right through the hedge. I find it interesting that Satan can't get through without permission. Man can break it. And once they break it, hedges that are broken must be fixed by man. God's the one who put it there, but if you're the one who broke it, you're the one who has to fix it. Ezekiel chapter 13, verse number 5. Ezekiel right before Daniel. Ezekiel chapter 13, verse number 5. It says, ye have not gone up into the gaps, neither made up the hedge for the house of Israel to stand in the battle in the day of the Lord. This is Ezekiel preaching to the house of Israel and saying God's angry with them. Why? Because nobody was making up the hedges. Why was nobody fixing the hedges? See, at one point, Israel got so away from God that everyone in Israel was breaking through hedge after hedge after hedge, destroying the very hedge of God that was there to protect them. But everybody was just running right through it. What does that do? It's going to cause some holes. It's going to cause some gaps. And you know what God said? Why is no one trying to mend it? Why is no one trying to fix it? We'll hear stories of pastors who ended up getting away from God and destroying a church. You know what it takes? Another man getting behind the pulpit and fixing it. It's going to take time. It's going to take prayer. And it's going to take a church getting behind him. But God lets that man fix the hedge. Why? Because it was man that broke it. And so now man has to fix it. And so here he's getting mad that nobody fixes it and nobody's trying to fix that hedge. Look at Ezekiel 22:30. If nobody fixes the hedge, then he's going to look for a man to stand in the gap. Ezekiel 22:30. And I sought for a man among them and should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. You know what he said in chapter number 13? He said, hey, nobody's even trying to fix it. No one's trying to fix this hedge. You guys don't even care. And then he says, can I at least have someone to stand in the gap? Can I at least have someone who will stand where they've already broke down that hedge and stand there and protect the rest of Israel? And he said he couldn't find anyone. I wonder this morning how many young people or how many people in this church have broke through that hedge. And now, you know what happens when you break through that hedge? Anybody can get in. Now there's a big hole. Satan can walk right through now. I wonder if someone in your family broke the hedge that protected your family, and now no one's standing in the gap to protect them. I wonder if there's somebody in here this morning who will say, man, I know my family's broke down the hedge. I know that they're not living the way they should, but you know what I'm going to do, God? I'm going to stand in the gap. I'll stand here. I'll do what I can. Can you help me, Lord? Can you help me to protect my family? Can you help me? I'll take the bite. I'll do whatever it takes, but God, I'm going to stand here and defend my family. I'm going to stand here and defend my church. I'm going to stand here and defend my friend. Will there be someone to stand in the gap? God found no one when it came to Israel. Will he find someone when it comes to the church that will stand in the gap? Man's broken down the hedge. Will he find someone to stand in the gap of it? Hedges are broken by man, and when they're broken, he expects someone to stand in the gap. But I find this in the Bible, and this is sad. This is the last one. Hedges will be lifted as a judgment of God. Turn to Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 5, verse number 5. It says, and now go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up and broken down, and the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down. And I will lay it waste, and it shall not be pruned nor digged. But there shall come up briars and thorns, and I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. Turn to Psalms 80. Psalms 80, verse 12. This is David asking God questions. And in verse 12, he says, why hast thou then broken down her hedges, so that all they which pass by the way do pluck her? The boar out of the wood doth waste it, and the wild beast of the field doth devour it. What's David asking? He's saying, why did you lift the hedge on Israel? Why are you letting all these things just come in and destroy us? Why? Because it was a judgment of God. Israel didn't want to listen. Israel wanted to keep breaking through the hedge every chance they got. They wanted to go on the other side. And you know what? God said, fine. If you want it so badly, you can have it. If you want so badly what's on the other side of that hedge, then fine. And he lifted that hedge and let everything on the outside come in and destroy them. It's a judgment of God. 89:40, Psalms 89:40. That Thou hast broken down all his hedges. Thou hast brought his strongholds to ruin. All that pass by the wall, by the way, spoil him. He is a reproach to his neighbors. God said, all right, Israel, I'm done. You don't want what I gave you. You don't want the vineyard. You don't want the protection. You want that so badly? Fine. You want to push through? Fine. Then I'll just lift it. I'll make it easier for you. You know God does that in our lives? He'll say, all right, fine. You want that so badly? How about I make it easier for you? You can have everything that's on the outside. But what you don't realize in your sin and in your, you're having pleasure in sin for a season, you don't realize all the things that are about to devour you, about to destroy your life that God was protecting you from because he loves you. But you want it so badly, what was on the outside, God will give it to you. If you want it, God will lift the hedge. He'll say, all right, fine. If that's what you want, then there you go. It's all yours. And because of it, Israel got destroyed. Israel let Assyria come in and take everything. Babylon came in and destroyed Judah. Why? They were breaking down the hedge anyway, so God just helped them out. He lifted up the hedge, and then Israel was gone. Just like that. And I wonder if you're in here this morning and any of this kind of reminds you of yourself. You know what? Young people, I wonder if you're sitting there going, man, God's put some hedges in my way, and I've done everything I could to break them down. I'm pushing through them with everything I have. Every wall he gives me, I just shove it down. It hurts. I get scratches all over me. Man, the thorns, they're pretty thick. They go pretty deep. But I want so badly what's on the outside, I just don't care. And you know what happens? Teenagers come walking in this church. Men and women come walking in this church with a serpent attached to their arm. We see it. We see that Satan's got his fangs dug deep inside you. And there's nothing you can do about it. Why? Because you broke down the hedge. You let him do it. And now you've got bitterness. You've got anger. You're mad at your family. Why? Because your parents, listen to this, parents, you realize God has you as a hedge in your kids' lives? You're supposed to be protecting them. But what you do because you don't want any conflict in the house. Well, you don't want your kids mad at you. So you lift the hedge yourself. You say, all right, you know what? I'll just let them do what they want. They need to learn. Yeah, they do need to learn from their parents. They need to see that their parents care about them and that they're trying to protect them. But instead, you lift the hedge and you say, all right, Satan, my kid's yours. That's right. I've seen so many teenagers since working with teens where the parent let them get devoured.
That's right. Yeah. Amen.
You're supposed to be protecting them.
Amen.
But yet you let the hedge just get destroyed.
Yeah.
All because you just wanted to be cool with your kids.
Yeah.
You didn't want them mad at you.
Right.
It's your job to stand in a gap for your children. And teenagers, if you don't have a parent that will stand and it happens, then it's your job to stand.
Amen.
Then you need to stand in the gap because you know what's right. You're old enough to know the word of God.
Right.
You're old enough to know what you should and should not do. And don't say, well, I never had a parent to tell me.
Yeah.
But didn't this tell you?
Amen.
This told you how to live your life.
Yeah.
You stand in the gap for your family. How about you say, God, I do wish I had parents who would stand in the gap, but I don't. But God, can you use me to protect them?
Amen.
God, I'll stand in the gap. Can you just protect my family through me? You can do it. You can stand in the gap. But unfortunately, just like Gomer, they'll put that hedge right in front of you and you say, God will say, I'm trying to protect you. Don't go through it. Listen, Satan's waiting for you. And you just push right through it.
Right.
Destroy it. Don't care how much it hurts. Don't care who you hurt. You'll step over the prayers of your youth leaders, the prayers of your pastor, the prayers of your parents just to get to the other side. And Satan goes, gotcha. All I want you to do is come over here because I can't get to you. He laughs at you. He says, man, I can't get to where you are. You were safe.
Right.
But you just came on over to my side.
Right.
And then he sinks his fangs into you and you're done. Man, once the venom's in, you're scarred for life. You can get right. You can get things right with God. God can change things in your life. But you'll always have the scars from when you broke the hedge. And so I wonder where you're at this morning with that. Listen, this is just I was trying to teach this. I'm not trying to preach. But this is something that God gave me on the study of hedges, that God gives them for our protection. He loves us and wants to protect what's his. And we are his.
Amen.
We're not our own. We're bought with a price. And our whole purpose being in that vineyard is to see fruit grow. We're supposed to be winning others. We're supposed to be plowing. We're supposed to be planting these seeds. But instead, we want so badly what's on the other side of that hedge that we'll do whatever it takes to get through it. We'll break through, we'll push through, no matter what scars we cause, no matter who we hurt in the way, as long as we get what we want.
Amen.
And Satan wins. And so I wonder this morning, if that's where you're at, I wonder if you've broken down some hedges, and I wonder if there's anyone here who can say, man, I'm kind of lifting the hedge. I'm not really helping my family. I'm not standing in the gap. I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do. I wonder if we have some men. Listen, pastor can't, there's more than one gap. Amen. Pastors can't be the only one standing in the gap for Faith Baptist Church. Amen. How about you go find another gap and you stand in that one? And say, you know what? I'm going to stand with my pastor. Amen. How about you go hand in hand and say, all right, we're just going to stand right here and not let anything through. Yep. Protect the church. Protect your family. Protect your kids. Because Satan wants to devour them. Yep. How about you stand in the gap for them? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I thank you. Lord, I know it wasn't long, God, but I do believe this is what you put on my heart. And God, I pray that you just use it for your glory and your honor, God. And I just pray you just keep this thing about hedges on our heart, Lord. And I pray that people want to protect their families, their friends, God, and want to see salvation in their families, Lord, and they'll stand in the gap for them. And God, I pray that you please protect Faith Baptist Church, God. Put a hedge of protection around us and keep us safe from the devil and from this world, God. I pray that if there is any holes, God, from where people have forced their way through, that, God, we would have some men and some women who would stand in the gap for Faith Baptist Church. And God, I pray you protect us. God, I pray you use us for your glory and your honor. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.